God is love. And he defines what love is, not what the world defines it to be, but he defines love in an incredible way. And he defines love in terms of not an emotion or a feeling, but in terms of this whole thing of unconditional love. The Longman Dictionary defines unconditional as not limited by or depending on any conditions. Isn't that amazing? That is agape love, not limited or defined or depending upon any conditions. Unconditional love of our Father. And the Word of God confirms over and over and over again that God our Father loves us. I hope that you're experiencing it in some way, and maybe this morning you've never experienced His love, but I hope if you're a believer this morning that you're walking with this amazing God who's your partner, who's your senior partner. As one guy wrote a book, he wrote a book called The Holy Spirit, My Senior Partner. He's not just your partner, he's your senior partner, he's your savior, he's your leader. He's the one who's done everything possible for you to live. He loves you so much that nothing can separate you from His love. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Nothing can separate you from God's love. In Jesus Christ. Amen. In Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. But I want to say this morning that all of these four kinds of love, every single kind of love demands a response from people. Even the erotic love, you know, the romantic love that we've seen displayed in people, yeah, where they get to know each other and they really love each other and they actually know each other. Like Jos and Michelle know each other quite well, guys. Well done. And Peter and Talita, you guys know each other well for someone, couple who hasn't been married that long. And Harlow and Emily, yeah, it's almost time to get married. But you guys also, it's an awesome, awesome bond that's forming there. But all of that love demands a response. If Harlow reaches out to Emily, it's going to demand a response from her because he's going to show her that he really loves her. And so she's going to have to choose yes or no. Is this the right guy or not? Like all these couples and all of us who are married had to make that choice. And the guy normally hopefully takes the first step. Sometimes these days the women are taking the first step and say, marry me. You know, he has the ring, just put it on. And I don't know how it works these days, but women are sort of taking the first step because sometimes guys are a bit slow. But when there's a love involved, there's a response. You need to make a choice, yes or no. Can I have an amen? Even with storge love, your parents reach out to you and they kind of maybe have to love you because you're born into that family, but I don't believe they have to love you. I believe they love you. As a parent, I can't not love my kids. I love them so much. And there's a response that is demanded in that response or in that feedback that the children or the siblings have to choose to love each other because there's a love that's so strong. Even the filial love, you reach out to someone, you click with someone and you want to really connect with this person on a deep emotional friendship level. And the person must choose yes or no. It can't be neutral. You either love the person or you don't. But there's a response involved for each of these types of love. And it's the same with agape love. In fact, agape love is no different, but yet it's even a greater love. And so the agape love of God demands a response from us. Isn't that so? It's such a powerful love. It's such an amazing love. And I believe it calls for a greater response than any of those other loves. And guess what it demands? It demands a response so powerful, it's called death. Hectic. In fact, that's what Jesus demonstrated. This love is so strong that he died for us, and he demands for us to also die to ourselves. The Bible says, deny yourself, turn away from your old ways, die to something that you can live again. And that's what we do when we baptize people. We say, you're dying in the death of Christ. You're dying to your old life. The love of God demands a response called death. It's hectic. It's powerful. So that you can live, because in order to live, something must die. The old life must die. And I loved when in our small group this year, at the beginning of the year, we asked everyone, and I always love doing this at the beginning of the year, ask people, you know, what are your expectations of the year? What do you want to do this year? And I loved people's responses. It was like, we want to hear God's voice more. We want to be obedient more. I heard that a couple of times and I was so thankful. I was like, God, you're really speaking to, and people are hearing you and they want to be obedient to you. Few of us who are really following Jesus will say, ugh, you know, I don't really have an expectation of that. I don't care. You know, I'm just going to go on. I think if you're really following Jesus and you know the love of Jesus, you want to be obedient. And I really was thankful to the Lord that, that people are really wanting to be obedient to what God is saying to them. And so that's what this love of God demands from us. It demands from us obedience so that we can die to our old life and live again to Christ. Listen to what John 14 verse 15 says. In the ESV, it says it so nicely. It says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Let's say that again. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. In fact, the New King James says it like, if you love me, keep my commandments. But the ESV says it nicely, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And we can read that with a religious mindset and a bad mindset where, ooh, shucks, you know, I better just keep my commandments and or keep God's commandments, then I know, you know, then I love him more. But I believe we shouldn't read it from that way. And even myself, you know, you read that and all you want to do is just tick the boxes and make sure you keep God's commandments and then you can prove to him that you love him. Which is in a way right, but if we're going to try and do it that way, we'll probably fail all the time and we'll feel like we're missing it. But God is saying that if you have this love revealed in your heart, if you have this love in you, you will keep my commandments. You're going to. You're going to want to obey me. Even though you're not perfect yet, you're still going to want to obey me. Isn't that so? John 14, and this is where I stopped last week from John 14. I just want to go on a little bit more from there. In verse 21, he says here, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. It's confirmed again, there's a response here to this love of God. A response with where you've been so filled with the love of God that you want to obey his commandments. It's not something you have to do. It's not a law. It's something that you so want to do. And then Judas, not Iscariot, says, he asks Jesus and he says, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him and said to him, if anyone loves me, he has this love thing again. It seems to go on and on. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. Who of you wants to have that in your life where the Father is coming to make his home with you? That's the most freeing thing. It's the most amazing experience to have God live in you and live through you. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine but the Father's who sent me. Jesus is saying, I'm not saying this on my own. I'm bringing a message directly from the Father. The Father has made it possible for me to bring this love to the world, and therefore I'm asking you, disciples, just love Father God by keeping his commandments. But you're not going to do it by trying to keep his commandments. You're going to do it when you have a revelation of his love. And the word there, manifest, is really about a revelation. God wanting to reveal himself to us and wanting to live inside of us and show us more of his great character, because our brains cannot fathom it all in one go. That's why he says, work out your salvation. It's a process. Grow. Grow in the knowledge of God and become a disciple. And in John 15 verse 10, he carries on, and I want to get to something else this morning, but I'm just throwing out some scriptures here that Jesus is telling his disciples. He says in John 15 verse 10, listen to this, he says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Isn't that amazing? It's like a cycle. The more you love, the more you obey. The more you obey, the more you love. He says, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And then he goes on in verse 12. I haven't put that up there, but he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then he says this, greater love is no one than this, than to die for his friends. Verse 13, greater love is no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Isn't that incredibly profound? Isn't that the love I talked about at the beginning? This death, this dying that must happen. The greatest response is when we die to ourselves and we live for other people, we live for God, and we live for his kingdom. That is love. And in 1 John 5, it's confirmed again. 1 John 5 verse 2 and 3. Let me just read this, because the same John is writing he's writing another letter here at the end of, towards the end of the Bible. 1 John 5 verse 3, 2 and 3 says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. We don't seem to be able to get away from this whole thing of love and obedience going hand in hand. 2 John 6 says the following. This is love. Same John writing, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. The same John who had this revelation of the love of the Father when Jesus spoke to him, wrote to his disciples and lived out this love so much so that he also died a death like Peter, a martyr's death. In fact, they threw him in a pot of boiling oil and he didn't die, and then he wrote the book of Revelation and all of that. He was prepared to die for his Savior. So I want to ask us this morning, what does it look like? That's the question I want you to think about this morning. What does love look like when it's manifest by our Father? What would you say? Just think about that for a while. What does love look like? Because yes, we talk about love and God is love and we seem to know that, but what does this love really look like? I don't know about you, but I want to live out that love. I want to live and demonstrate and have that love revealed so much in me that I can live a life that's really obeying God's commandment and living his word. So think about that for a while. And so I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how, there's so many scriptures we can use. Love is all over the Bible because God is love. So this, if you type in the word love throughout the Bible, you get, where do you choose a sermon? How do you demonstrate, how do you try to reveal this love in a few minutes? And I know we don't have to do it in a few minutes because it is a journey. But when we talk about our Father this morning, I want to look at a story in the book of Acts, and God just takes me again back to the book of Acts. It's like, I guess it's just the theme he's given us this year as a church. So he took me back to the book of Acts again. And so I want to read a story, not read a story, but I just want to go through a little story of someone. Now, we know Jesus Christ is the perfect example of the love of the Father. Okay, so we can talk about Jesus and dying on a cross and all of that. And that is the most perfect example of this love of the Father. But apart from Jesus, who is a man that we can maybe identify a little bit more with, someone who's also sinful, who's also not perfect, who's also not quite like Jesus, but very close to Jesus. Is there a person like that? And so I went to the book of Acts and I found a guy here in Acts chapter 6 who must have been so close to Jesus. And it's not Peter and it's not Paul and it's not any of the Old Testament heroes either. It's a man who's just written about in a few verses. Who must have been so close to Jesus. He must have been very like Jesus. And that's what I want to leave with you guys this morning to think about. I want you to think about, this is the life that I believe Jesus is calling us to live if we really want to. Don't have to. We can live a comfortable life and that's fine. He's not going to put you into hell for that. But if we talk about this love of the Father being revealed into someone that is so prepared to just do stuff that we are mind blown by. And that's my challenge for all of us this morning. Can we live a life like this? Can we allow the love of the Father to impact us so powerfully that it's not Eros love, it's not Storge love, it's not Philia love, it's agape love. It can only be agape love. It can only be love without a condition. And so it's a story of a guy named Stephen. Turn to someone next to you and say, Stephen. It's amazing. There's a couple of Stephens in our church. There's two. One is called Stephen, but you spell his name Stephen Banda, and Stephen Gooch. But this guy's name happened to also be Stephen, and he's an example of someone full of the love of the Father. Just gonna mention five things here, and then we can end off in prayer, and I challenge us to just ask the Father and ask his Son Jesus to come and reveal this type of love to all of us, because this is incredible. So Stephen was a guy that was chosen by the apostles to you know, serve, and serving is so important in the church. Amen. If you're going to get to this place where Stephen got, then I would start with serving. Amen. I would start with really laying down your life, and I can see it happening in our church. I see there's a servant heart happening. But Stephen was a man full of faith, they said. In verse 5 and in verse 8, it says, yes, Stephen was full of faith and power, and he did great wonders and signs among the people. But Stephen started by serving. It doesn't say much. It just says that he was appointed to help with the distributing of the food to the widows and the orphans, and he must have served faithfully. Midian, it says that he was full of faith and with power. And that's why they laid hands on him, because they chose him, it says, that a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And the first thing he demonstrated here was he did signs and wonders among the people. See, there's no room for fear. When we are full of faith, guess what happens? There's no room for fear. In fact, 1 John 4:18 says that there's an opposite of fear. And we say it's faith, and yes, it is faith, but guess where that faith comes from? When perfect love casts out all fear. The love of the Father must have impacted Stephen so powerfully that he was full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and there was no room for fear. All fear was cast out by the perfect love of the Father, and he could first of all do signs and wonders. He demonstrated our Father's power. That's the first thing he did. He demonstrated our Father's power. He was full, I don't believe, of faith and of the Holy Spirit primarily. I believe he was full of the love of the Father. That's why he could be full of faith. That's why he could be filled with the Holy Spirit. He was full of the love of the Father. Secondly, in verse 15, it says here, and all who sat in the council looked steadfastly at him, and they saw his face as the face of an angel. Isn't that amazing? Stephen is here under attack by all these people. He's standing before the Sanhedrin, and he's accused of blasphemy. He's accused of talking about this Jesus guy, who is he anyway? But he's so passionate, and these people are just trying to accuse him. They actually want him killed eventually. But what is Stephen demonstrating? He's demonstrating an incredible character within him. He's under pressure. Just think of it. When you're under pressure, what do you tend to do? You tend to react. Me as well. Most of us. Isn't that so? When we're under pressure, we tend to justify ourselves. We tend to say, no, but I was right, and, you know. But what does Stephen do? He just sits there, and it says his face is like the face of an angel. How amazing must that have been when people are looking at him and they just can't deny there's something glorious about this guy. There's something supernatural about this guy. This guy's face is not stressed. He's not full of fear. He's not angry. He's got this perfect peace. I mean, I don't know what an angel looks like. I've never seen one, but the face of an angel must be, I believe, the face of glory. Moses went up on the mountain, and what did Moses do? He saw God in his glory, and he came down, and people said his face was shining like something amazing. And it's amazing that these guys are trying to defend Moses, and yeah, it's a picture of Moses almost coming down from the mountain in Stephen himself. A picture of Moses manifesting himself to these people saying, this is Jesus Christ. The ultimate fulfillment of the law, the ultimate fulfillment of the prophets, and yeah, I'm manifesting myself in my servant Stephen. And these people looked at him, and all they wanted to do was accuse him, and they were saying, defend yourself, defend yourself. And here he is, and he's just at peace with God. I believe Stephen was so full of the Father's love that he displayed the Father's character. Amen. And does your face sometimes display God's character, or all the time, or never? Sometimes we have to tell our faces a little bit to be more joyful, to be more excited, just to be more at peace, you know. Because sometimes our faces look a bit stressed in life. But I believe your face is shining what's inside your character. It's what's inside your heart. If God has, you know, filled you with joy and peace and, you know, all the fruits of the Spirit, then guess what? It's going to shine in your face. Amen. And you're not going to get angry so often. You're not going to get frustrated so often. You're not going to get worried so often or fearful. It's a character of God that is demonstrated. So wouldn't you say, this is what the love of the Father did in Stephen's life. It allowed him to demonstrate God's power, but secondly, it allowed him to just display God's character. The love of the Father, full of the love of the Father. He had a glory from God. And then in the whole of chapter 7, you can read that sermon. It talks about the whole history of Israel. It's the whole history of the Bible. He sums it up. If you want to know the Bible in a few verses, then that's a good sermon to remember. Exactly what happened throughout Israel's history. And guess what? Stephen wasn't shy to tell the truth. Stephen was so full of the Father's love that he preached our Father's story. He preached with boldness, and he told them the whole gospel, and he even confronted those. If you looked at the end there, he says, you wicked people, you stiff-necked people, you resist God. Is that loving? It's very loving because he's just telling people the truth. Sometimes we don't want to love people, so we worry to tell them the truth. We think they're going to be offended. We're so worried about people's offense. And guess what? Stephen was so filled with the Father that he just obeyed what the Father told him. And he wasn't worried whether he's going to offend people on it. He wasn't worried whether he was going to be killed. And the truth is, he was killed. But he confronted those who resisted God. And so Stephen was so filled with the Father's love that he preached our Father's story. And then in verse, and this is where it starts to get tough. And when I read this piece of scripture, I'm like, I'm challenged. And I wonder how it must have been. How must it have been here in this whole situation? When they heard these things, I'm going to read this part. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. And then it says, but he being full of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Third time it says that. Say to someone next to you, full. Are you full? The word full is shared quite often in this passage of scripture, and Luke uses it very specifically. Sometimes we must just stop at certain words and just say, full, God, full me. Holy Spirit, fill me. That's why we talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit. Not just a one-time event. It's I'm empty, God, but fill me. Who's empty here this morning? Maybe someone is empty here this morning. Maybe the holiday emptied you. And you're back at university and you think, oh no, I need to give and now I'm just so empty. Then guess what? Do what Stephen says. God, fill me all the time. Keep me full. And it says, yeah, this guy was so full of the love of God. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says he gazed into heaven and he saw the glory. Sometimes we do it on a Sunday when Jos and Michelle are on duty or whoever's leading us in worship. Then we see the glory, but the rest of the week all we see is bad stuff. But Stephen was at this place where he was so under pressure. He's being challenged. He's at the point of his life where he can really just run away if he wants to, but he's not. His peace is not disturbed. He's just so full of Jesus and full of the Father. And he says, all I see is the glory of God, and I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and these guys are even more angry. This just tips the scales. Now they're going to run at him. They can't take this. They can't take that this guy's got this intimate relationship with Jesus. The fourth thing that Stephen did was he revealed our Father's glory. Don't you think, did he like the rhyming there? He preached our Father's story and then he revealed our Father's glory. I think that was awesome. God gave that to me. Amen. He revealed our Father's glory. And he witnessed. And he had a revelation and he worshipped. This is what worship is. And so they ran at him. They cried out with a loud voice. They stopped their ears. They ran at him with one accord. And then they cast him out of the city. They stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And then they stoned Stephen and he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. This is, when I read this, I'm like, Lord, this is so challenging. How many of us would have gone the distance? How many of us would have been faithful to the cause of Christ and to see Christ and do what Christ did, do exactly what Christ did? Stephen revealed the fullness of God and he worshipped, and guess what? He was such a powerful witness. So powerful that there was a man named Saul sitting there and Saul's life was changed. Right there, Saul's life was changed. And he carried on persecuting the church, but he couldn't continue because Jesus said, you saw what happened. It's time for you also to do the same. Stephen was a witness. He was a worshiper and he had a revelation of the Father's glory. And that is a man filled with the love of God. Amen. That is a man so full of the Father's love, so full of our Father's love, and he was a man of prayer. Yeah, he's crying out till his last breath, and he's saying, Lord Jesus, I'm in relationship with you. Now we can be one completely. Receive my spirit. Now we can complete this thing, and I'm going to be in heaven with you. And then the last thing Stephen did, verse 60, then he knelt down and he cried out with a loud voice. This was actually his last words. Those weren't his last words, according to Luke. His last words were, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And he fell asleep. The most powerful display of the Father's forgiveness was demonstrated by a man, just like us, a sinful man, wasn't perfect, wasn't Jesus, but very close to Jesus. And he cried out and he said, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. He was full of forgiveness. He proved our Father's forgiveness. Oh, guys, this is challenging. He did exactly what Jesus did on the cross. Father, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing. Stephen said the exact same things. Lord, don't charge them. Don't hold this against them. I forgive them, Lord. You judge. But I'm not going to hold the, I'm not going to hold a grudge. I'm not going to go into heaven with offense. I'm not going to end my life like this. I want to free them. And they're my enemies, Lord. And they're your enemies. But you know what? I forgive them. This is someone full of the Father's love. And you see, Jesus Christ, friends, came to fill us all with the Father's love. That's what Jesus Christ came to do on the cross. He came to make us like Stephen. And these are just a few things. I guess there's many more, but in this passage of scripture, and I'm so thankful to the Lord for showing me this, because I was preparing something else, and the Lord said, just show this example of Stephen, because it's powerful. Jesus came to fill us with the Father's love so that you and I can in a way be like Stephen. And you might not die, you might not be stoned in your life, but guess what? You'll have an opportunity to demonstrate the Father's power. There might be someone sick, there might be someone needing a word of prophecy. Then let the Holy Spirit lay hands through you on that person. Give that person a word. Demonstrate the power of the Father's love. Amen. Because signs and wonders are the Father's love. It's not about signs and wonders. Just, I saw a story of an evangelist that was on a plane now recently who's, this guy was sitting next to her and he just didn't want to speak. And then she had a word of knowledge that something in his neck or something, and he said, yes, I've got pre-throat cancer. She laid hands on him and he said he could swallow the stuff going, he could feel it going. And then she had another word, says, yeah, you're one leg shorter than your other. Like, how did you know? Let's pray. Prayed, the leg grew. So he had like a thing to lift up his one leg like that, and his leg grew. So she said, I better take the support off now. But some amazing stuff is happening because the love of the Father wants to be demonstrated. Healings, prophecy, word of knowledge, wisdom, miracles, faith, all the gifts and more. Signs and wonders can be demonstrated through us if we really want to. Or do we want to go through life just doing the same old, being in control of our own lives and nothing supernatural, because then it's a bit uncomfortable, you know, and I'm not sure, maybe I'll fail, so let's rather not do it. Or are we going to be so filled with the Father's love that we'll demonstrate His power? Then secondly, you know, you might be in a tough situation this week or in the weeks to come. Then are you going to demonstrate that face of an angel? Remember that. Remember Stephen's face. When you're in a meeting and you're challenged and you have to, and you get angry with someone, are you going to just be at peace and know God is going to sort this out? And when you're accused and when you're challenged, are you going to get angry or are you going to display the character of the Father, the fruits of the Spirit? Not only the gifts, because the first one, the signs and wonders, the gifts, but then often we have gifts without character. So don't only do the gifts, do the character as well. Display the Father's character to the world out there. And then preach His story. Maybe someone will know why you got faith. Why? What is this Bible? Is it true? And how's that? Then you know your Bible. You know Genesis 1. In the beginning, God. So just tell people, God, okay? You need to know God. And tell Him the whole story. Tell someone this week the whole story of our Father. Our Father's love. He's got an incredible story. It starts in Genesis. And it ends in Revelation. And it's got Jesus Christ as the center. In fact, He's the beginning, the end, and He's all in between as well. But tell the whole story. Tell our Father's story this week. Tell someone the goodness. Tell someone your testimony. And then reveal His glory. Worship Him. Pray. Seek God's face. And even in the midst of challenges, you'll be witnessing to people. And then just make sure you do what Stephen did. When someone offends you, when someone hurts you, when someone does something wrong with you, then prove the Father's forgiveness. Jesus said, how can you know my forgiveness if you can't forgive other people? If you're holding a grudge against someone, then forgive. Because I forgave you. I've got lots to accuse you about. You were a sinner. You are a sinful person. I shouldn't be loving you, but I love you and I forgive you. And I've made a way for all your sins to be forgiven. So prove the Father's forgiveness this week or in this month or in this year or in the rest of your life, prove his forgiveness. Be like Stephen and say, Father, they don't know what they do. I choose to forgive them. And be like Stephen and don't be like the guy singing the Hadaway thing. What is love? Why must we ask what is love when we know there's one who has died for us, who's demonstrated a love so great, but yet it's so real for each one of us. Can the band come forward as we close in prayer this morning?